kick it off. Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. And this week, I, Adam, your moderator, am joined by Steven.
Yo.
And we have three people off the street. Again, we just went outside, plucked a few people off the street. Mr. Wall was waiting outside the door for us.
I'm back. I heard something about a podcast and food.
And we have Mr. Powell here today.
I saw a crowd of people and I just decided to
Right. And Miss Wise.
Hi.
And we're not really a random group of people. We do get together and play games, and we're going to talk about a few of those games. But first, we're going to talk about something we did earlier this week, and that was a little board game outreach. So, as we've talked about in earlier podcasts, we have started a board game club for the youth in our hood, and we've had a few of those with some pretty good success. We've had, I think, 12 or 13 people show up to our most attended one, and it's been great. But earlier this week, we decided to go to a coffee shop, take a few board games, just sit down with random people and say, hey, do you want to play a game? So,
not with a creepy mask on.
Right, no. Creepy mask.
We were all
I've never seen Saw.
I've only seen the third one, and that was enough. I don't recommend those movies.
We were all riding tricycles at the time.
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's good that you don't.
It's a different coffee shop.
I think we did.
It's a different crowd at the coffee shop.
I guess so. But I don't know. How do you guys think that went? We initially sat down, and there was somebody already at our table. So
that was helpful.
Right. So how did that go down, Mr. Wall?
Oh, well, there was this college student, and she was waiting for somebody, and we had the game Love Letter readily available, and there was only three of us and one of her. And so we're like, hey, we're going to play this game. You want to join? And she really didn't seem hesitant at all. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for somebody, so might as well. And I think she got the hang of it pretty quickly, and
yeah,
it was a good guerrilla board gaming session.
It was, yeah. We're calling it guerrilla board gaming because we just go out into the wild and get it done.
Ambush people.
Ambush okay. people, yeah.
I was thinking between the animal gorilla and the actual gorilla tactic.
Well,
although we had discussed playing games at a coffee shop in gorilla suits.
That's true.
First practice.
Yeah.
See, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah. And you can't see this, but Mr. Wall is pretty hairy. He's a pretty hairy guy. He's got a nice beard. So.
No comment.
Yeah. But, yeah, we played Love Letter, and that was one of the games we took because it's a really simple game. There's only 16 cards, and on your turn, you have one card in your hand, and you draw another, and each card has an effect on it. You play one card for its effect and move on. And basically, you're trying not to get knocked out of the round and acquire what are called tokens of affection to win the game. So it is really a cool game, and I'd suggest anybody try Love Letter. It's actually a pretty popular gift for weddings. So anybody out there looking for a wedding gift, go to your local game shop, pick up Love Letter. They'll love it.
That's their tagline.
Right. And then Steven and I sat down with a group of randoms with King of Tokyo. How do you think that went down?
That was pretty crazy. They responded way differently than I anticipated.
Really?
They were like super into it.
I mean, have you seen the board game? It looks super cool.
It gives you trippy dreams.
Yeah. Well, no, I just thought they, kind of like with the first girl, I thought they'd be a little bit more hesitant, but it seemed like, it was like, sure, we'll play a game. And then we explained it, and they just look all wide-eyed and in amazement.
I know. It was pretty cool, and we're going to talk about King of Tokyo at the end of the podcast, but yeah, they were totally into it, and I think there is a little bit of like shock value when you throw down a game like that, because it's not Monopoly and it's not cards, so.
And people in Billings are kind of pretty nice anyway, so I think they, for the most part, they'd be like, they don't want to turn you away so you don't feel bad, so that's an easy in.
Right.
Plus, Adam and I broke the ice by sitting on the same chair together.
That's right.
It was really just,
it was very intimate.
Yeah. Their words.
Yeah. Ours. They kept making fun of us for that. I don't know.
But see, it broke the ice.
It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah, that went really well. And one of them turned out to be a youth leader, so filled him in.
Small world.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. making connections, getting people interested in board games. Because that's what this is all about for us. Board games, just a means to an end. Which brings us to the third spear of our trident of board game outreach. We've got the game club, we've got guerrilla tactic board gaming, and then I've talked to another coffee shop here about doing a game tournament where people actually sign up to come in and play, and I think we're going to do King of Tokyo for that as well. It's just a really good game to introduce to people. I've played it with 6-year-olds, I've played it with 60-year-olds, and everybody just seems to really like it. So we've got our trident. Steven, do you want to fill us in?
Yes.
Steven had a good analogy with our trident.
So we have the three-pronged trident on the end with right. our outreach programs.
Mm-hmm.
It reaches out.
That's right.
The trident.
Yep.
And then the grip, the staff of the trident is also two pieces, and it's consistent of our website
right.
and our podcast.
That's right.
That's the
yeah.
base. That's
we're
the
out,
core.
Yeah, we're going to skewer people with board game love. It's going to be good.
I find the best way to reach out to people is by stabbing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have to literally have to reach out. To
That's
do
true.
It.
Oh, my gosh.
And the bad jokes keep coming.
Honey.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm trying to disguise my voice as somebody else so people don't know it's continually me making the bad joke.
Miss Wise.
Yes?
How did you feel about our guerrilla tactics outreach?
I thought it was very effective. You know, it was a busy Tuesday night at the at the coffee shop,
yeah.
not the college.
Although we do need to go to the college at some
and
point.
I'm sure the college was also busy, so
oh, yeah.
it works out.
We're going to need to grow our team. We're going to have to go out in teams, I think, at some point.
With teams of 10.
Teams of 10.
And also bringing more board games that are like 2 to 4 people friendly.
Yeah, I think so, because you could sit down with another person and say, do you want to play cards or just 2 other people? I don't know.
We'll just take Risk Legacy and just
Risk
ask
Legacy.
Them to watch.
Asking them to watch us play a board game.
Exactly.
I mean, it's super intense.
It is. Might.
This could be you too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did play Risk Legacy earlier, but before that, we kind of primed our board game whistle with a game called Cash and Guns, designed Woo-hoo. By Ludwig Montblanc. And that is put out by Repos. And this is a game, basically, you're all in a Mexican standoff after completing a heist together, and you're kind of trying to divvy up the loot, but of course everybody wants a larger piece of the pie. And you're all given a foam gun, so you actually get a physical gun, and there's loot laid out in front of you, and you've got bullets, and you can decide if you're going to load your gun. Over the course of a round, there are 8 rounds, or you can decide not to load your gun, but you can still get to point it at another person, so there's a little bluffing involved. I don't know. What did you guys think of Cash and Guns?
I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun.
Any game that you can point a weapon at people is pretty fun, as we've already explained, you know, tridents.
Yeah. It wasn't a trident, but a foam gun is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun little bluffing strategy game. I have to collect my thoughts. I'll be back. Okay.
Mr. Wells collecting his thoughts. But I'll say I've seen images online of people playing this games, and I've seen like 80-year-old women in retirement communities holding up these foam guns. It's pretty funny.
Like the warning of do not take the guns to school.
Right. Yeah, you probably shouldn't take this game to a few places.
School.
Yeah. Airports. Yeah.
And it's pretty dramatic when, at the count of 3, everyone just points a gun at somebody.
Right.
And then you have the option to, you know, lay down after that or whatever. But
right.
just strategy in order to get as much money, cash, gems as possible.
Right. It is a bluffing game.
Test your poker face.
Yeah. I actually disagree. I feel like we should take this game on our coffee nights.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, sure. And then you just whip out a gun.
Right.
And that's what it's called a bad idea.
I don't know. We'll give it a try. It might work with some groups.
Do you imagine, though, at the coffee shop, you're just a bystander sitting there, and all
right.
of a sudden there's people like...
Yeah.
I think it would be great.
Yeah. I think it might be. We should say...
I'm interested, though. They'd
yeah.
be like, why are
definitely.
They pointing guns at each other?
Yeah.
Fake
exactly.
foam guns.
Right.
And I feel like if I saw a bunch of people pointing guns at each other, I'd probably, like, run.
Run?
Rather than be like, oh.
That's interesting.
Let's check this out. Well, once you realize that they're fake.
Shall we?
Right. We may have people getting their phones out and just videotaping what's going down at the coffee shop.
Another prong to the trident.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody tried to rob the coffee shop. I saw it. I took a video of it.
Well, then make a quadrant.
That's why we're sharing a mic over here. Bad joke, Mike.
Yeah.
I should say, though, that the foam guns, they are black, but they have bright orange tips on the end, so they do kind of look like a toy still. Not totally realistic, but still sized pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Orange tip kind of makes it less likely that you'll get actually shot by someone with a real gun.
Yeah, yeah. And ironically, that is an issue here in Montana where everybody can carry a gun.
Exactly. So, my point.
Yeah. So, yeah, be careful if
we
you're...
have, like, four guns in the room right now.
Be careful where you play this game. But I suppose this does kind of raise another question, and there are some games that are going to rub people the wrong way. Not everybody's into guns and pointing guns at people, but if you are and you understand that this is just fun and this is not something you carry into your actual life, then that's okay. But you do need to have some... kind of a discerning heart when you're playing some of these games because they are themed a little bit...
Edgy.
Edgy, yeah, they're edgy. So,
less than politically correct.
Yeah, yeah, but they are fun. So don't ever feel like if you're uncomfortable playing a game that you can't say no, you may find that your friends will respect you more if you turn down a game you're not comfortable with.
Pointing a gun at someone usually... grants you some measure of respect, I would think.
I suppose, yeah.
Wow, this dude.
If you're too morally opposed to pointing a foam gun at someone, you could just make a finger gun.
I suppose.
But then again, it doesn't really get rid of the
idea. It's just the whole thing of pointing a gun at somebody. Yeah, it may not go over well. But it is a fun game, Catching Guns. Check it out. This is actually the second edition, so there's the first edition floating around out there with different artwork and everything, but this is, I think they toned down the artwork. It's a little more cartoony, more accessible. Yep.
One thing I did like about it was the different characters you could be, the different special abilities, because if it wasn't for those, it would be a pretty similar game every single time. Mm-hmm. And so those definitely add a different bit of diversity to the game to, you know, spice it up. Every different game.
Yeah, and those things are going to allow you to add more bullets to your gun or take more bullets to the chest or whatever. Miss Wise, I have a question.
Yes.
Playing Cash and Guns. In the box, there are a handful of characters, two of which are female.
Yes.
When you play games, are you drawn more towards female characters or does it matter to you?
I don't really care, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I just pick one that I think looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked Yoko. She looked like some sort of ninja chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were...
I was Nikita because I liked her beret.
Right.
I was a dictator.
I don't remember my guy's name. I chose the black guy.
The black guy.
He got sunglasses on, so that was a selling point.
Yeah. He's the only one with sunglasses.
I was Pedro. I just like the name Pedro.
There's a good diversity here in the characters you can be.
You had Bond.
Well, it was James.
James
then, right?
It was James.
James. Yeah. But it was very much implied that he's supposed to be James Bond. Yeah, so the suit and the whole pose and everything, yeah.
Which is weird, because I don't know that James Bond ever went on a heist. Pretty sure he stopped a few.
Especially with a ragtag group of Russians
right.
and Mexicans.
I've never seen James Bond.
What?
No. I played like the Nintendo 64 game, but I've never seen a movie.
I forgive you.
I have to admit the same thing.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, boom. Word.
Who are these people on the street we're picking up?
Wow.
If you played GoldenEye, parents. Then you're forgiven. Have you played GoldenEye, Mr. Powell?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Boom. I went up.
Leave.
Well, goodbye, guys.
Stay. No, stay.
All right. So after we played Cash and Guns, we unloaded Risk Legacy. And I guess disclaimer, first of all, if you are not familiar with Risk Legacy, this is a game that you play over about 15 sessions. And I don't think we're going to talk about anything that's going to be any spoilers. You know, fun things, different things happen depending on what's on the board. And you get to unload new things out of the box and tear up cards. But I don't think we have played to a level where we're going to spoil anything beyond what you would see when you open the box or look through the rule book. So, and this is our second game. How did our first game go down? What do you guys think? I'll start with Miss Wise.
Got annihilated at the end. I was so upset. But it went good. I really enjoyed it. And that whole week, I was excited for today so we could play again. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think Mr. Wall shared similar kind of feelings.
I worked most of the week, and on the roof as I was jingling, I'm like just thinking about Risk. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play the next game. So, you know, because it's cool because every game builds on itself, and you're like, well, there's cities now, and hopefully next time I'll win and get to name a continent, which I did. but no, it's exciting, and it'll be each lead up to the next game is going to be what's the word I'm looking for?
Awesome. Fantastic.
No, that's magic. Not it.
Magic.
you can never mind. Just edit that part out.
I'm going to need to collect your thoughts again.
Mr. Powell, what do you think?
Well, in the first game, I kind of got stomped, but I was able to pull myself out from under the boot.
Right.
And kind of hold on.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Right. It wasn't you that ended the first game, surprisingly,
yes.
Right? So.
And we thought it would
be. Sorry, Miss Wise.
You people.
Yeah, it's just a fun game. Yeah, I've always liked Risk. Like in the first podcast, I talked about impactful games that you play when you're younger, and Risk was one of those for me as well as it was for Steven. And yeah, it's just knowing that every Sunday we're going to play another game and it's going to build more and more is just that much more anticipation to play.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the anticipation of like what's going to be in one of the envelopes and how you want to get to that point where you can open one, which we haven't done yet.
Right, but we are so close. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I'm like, I want to play another game.
And the fact that whoever wins the first couple games, they don't have as many starting victory points really balances things out. So I think that's appropriate. And so I think that's just a good way to play the game as you're going. So one person just doesn't continue winning if they have more strategy.
I like it.
It's likely that everyone will win at least once.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think I'm going to win ever.
But I do like that the game rewards you for winning. And like Mr. Wall said, you actually get to name one of these continents. And I don't know, Steven, could you lay down kind of the lore for the world specifically as to why we even get to name these things?
Well, the Earth that we currently live in was destroyed more or less by war and whatnot. So these scientists... And these, I forget the term they use, fancy, super smart people. I'll
right, yep.
clone the planet Earth.
Right.
And have created several copies of it out farther in the universe. And so then this whole group of colonists from different, like, factions go to each world, and they're going to colonize it with the hopes of it being a peaceful world.
Right.
And then in the rule book, it says that after 2 months, the first wars already broke out because people just cannot live in peace.
Right.
So now you are, each planet is one of these factions on this new world that's nameless because it's brand new.
Right.
But it looks just like our world, like as far as the map goes. And then, yeah, as you go and you create a name for yourself at the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can name... cities and continents and all that stuff as the game goes.
I think it would have been interesting if they didn't make it exactly like our current world map, the way all the continents are shaped and everything, if they had done something different.
Right.
But I think that would have been a cool dynamic.
Yeah, and I will speak to that for a minute. Just the fact that the board looks like the planet Earth actually makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
There are other Risk games that have not sold as successfully, primarily due to that fact that they are on other planets or even other board games that take place elsewhere. People just don't have, you know, the affinity they have for planet Earth.
One Risk element I'll say along those lines is Mass Effect Risk. That one, if you've played the games Mass Effect, it's cool because it's the universe that you find in the game if you go to, like, the map or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, like, a circle. And it's all just these planets are orbiting like a central location, kind of like a sun. And so the pathways and everything are totally different than standard Risk. And you even have Mass Effect relays that will take you from like one side of the map to like the other side or somewhere in the middle, and you can just jump all over the place.
Nice.
So then it's cool, but it's super weird because you're like, you know, some central planet with you control all the planets around you, but then you overlook the fact that there's a Mass Effect relay and it leads to the back of your planet,
right?
From the other side of the galaxy, right? So like you leave it undefended, thinking, "Ah, nobody can get to me," and then they just teleport.
Right?
Yeah.
Mr. Powell, did you have something to say?
I did, but it was cleared up. So.
It was fleeting. Okay.
That and I forgot what I was going to say.
The struggle.
Yeah.
Struggle bus.
Nice.
I'm on it constantly. I get off one struggle bus and I get on another.
Miss Wise is now driving the struggle bus.
I own the struggle bus. I live in it.
It seems pretty funny for them to be saying all this considering I've easily been doing the worst. I have like the longest history with Rist because I've been playing it so much.
Right.
And I have just... I don't know what my problem is.
Starting in Europe.
Yeah, that's part of it. You've had some pretty...
Say, Mr. Powell, why don't you get closer in the mic?
Just cleared up.
Yeah, and just terrible dice rolls and the whole thing.
They have been pretty bad.
It's been depressing.
Yeah.
Very demoralizing.
I avoided fighting Miss Wise entirely this game because I learned my lesson last game. So
right,
yeah, I didn't attack her once this whole entire game.
Yeah,
it was great. It was beautiful.
You know who everybody attacked? Me.
That's true.
It was ridiculous.
You wanted to open that envelope.
You know what? I don't think Mr. Powell attacked you.
Well, either way, it was just terrible. I was the weakest. Well, I guess that made me a target in and of itself.
But that's true.
It was just sad. Just sad.
You know what? Time will tell what happens in Europe.
I heard that the guy who designed Risk Legacy was actually going to make a different game first that was Legacy.
Yes.
And he just eventually decided on Risk.
Yeah, we talked about that last podcast. It was Clue.
Man, I need to pay more attention.
You know what? You probably heard that on our podcast. Mr. Wall.
Got Pete.
Welcome back.
He left.
Not the time.
He came back. He's got a mouthful of pizza.
Might keep him from making bad jokes, though.
That's right. Enjoy.
Now you only have to worry about me.
Oh, we'll get a pacifier for you.
Here's a poodle. Well, I'll take a pass.
We only make fun of Mr. Powell because he is the youngest here today.
I do like the fact that Risk Legacy is very individualized and probably no Risk Legacy game is going to be the same as another.
Right. Yeah, and I think the theme and the lore really... drive that point home.
I absolutely love my faction, despite the fact that I keep driving them to their demise. It doesn't matter. I'm still proud of them.
Next game, Steven.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
There's still, 13 more?
Mm-hmm. All will be crushed before the con.
Nope. Don't listen to him.
I just want to hold my ground and never get eliminated. That's just my goal for this whole entire thing.
Well, that's pretty good. All succeeded in that thus far.
Yeah, it's a pretty good goal. Yeah. Mr. Powell, I have a question.
Hey.
What do you think of the artwork in the game?
I am really enjoying the artwork. It looks really nice.
I mean, you as an artist, I think, can appreciate what's happening here.
So appreciated.
Whatever's happening.
Yeah, whatever is happening. Mr. Powell's all over it.
Yes.
I love the artwork.
Yeah.
It's got a very nice visual style. It's very dark in some places.
Right. And I think it can appeal to a lot of people.
And the contrast between the different factions is also very nice. Like, Steven's playing a very orderly kind of faction.
Imperial Volcania, if you're interested.
Thank you. Mr. Wall is playing the Enclave of the Bears, which are these bear people, and they're very unorganized and all that kind of stuff.
But ferocious.
Pizza in his mouth.
And they do ride bears, so that's pretty cool.
How ferocious they are.
Yeah.
They eat pizza.
Mr. Wall's doing a little bit of role play as the bear people.
I don't have time for manners when I'm taking over the world.
My girl's eyebrows are like weird.
Your girls?
Yeah.
You keep pointing out that she's playing as the Saharan Republic and the...
We're very good at hiding?
Yeah, all of the pieces are women. And
they're like the Amazons from Greek
mythology. Ms. Wise does not approve of their eyebrows.
They go up into her forehead.
Very pointy.
It's weird.
Is it?
They're Vulcans. I don't know.
Well, they look fierce. Hey. They look fierce. I think they must be painted on.
I think their eyebrows are intimidating.
They are intimidating.
Got very intimidating.
Yeah.
I think next game you should paint your eyebrows like theirs. So the intimidation factor.
Yeah, but yeah. See, when I would do it, it just looks silly.
We all should just do that. Just dress up as our particular faction. So Mr. Wall.
I'll just go Braveheart.
Yeah, Mr. Wall's coming in with bare-chested with paint.
I'll bring a spare mech.
I'll just there you do go. Nissa
I need to grow dreads really fast. Yeah.
Shout out.
Did an arrow shout out just happen?
Yep.
Okay.
You can count on that.
You can count on that when I'm here. Yeah.
When in doubt, arrow shout out.
Steven Mill.
Steven, you need to use this mic over here if you're going to make bad jokes.
Gotta walk around.
Join us. Okay.
Get over there.
Join us.
What was your question?
Miss Wise, I have a question.
I like that.
For the question. Of the week.
Oh, gosh.
Question.
The whole week rests on your
own. Oh, no.
Yeah. Ouch.
That looks super painful.
Yeah. She just smacked herself in the face.
Oh, my goodness. Getting
struggle ready
bus.
For the question.
No, the bus is back.
Miss Wise.
Yes.
As a gamer and as a female, do you find it hard to break into the, like, gaming circles, or find it hard for people to accept that you like video games and board games?
Well, I feel like when I start talking about it, people are shocked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh my gosh. Like, I was talking to some person about Minecraft, which is a video game on the Xbox and or PC. And they're like, I've never heard of a girl liking Minecraft. And oh my gosh. And so it's definitely interesting. And then they always assume that I'm really bad at it, the game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just was like, oh, I bet you're horrible at this game. And I'm like,
they actually say that to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they tell that me straight to my face.
Wow.
And I'm like, do you want to bet?
So are so these...
Polite. I'll take you out.
Are these other people your age or are these... Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are these other
my
females?
My nephew's getting that smart talk too.
Ooh.
You better put him down.
I know.
Time to throw down.
Gosh.
I feel like putting someone down is kind of harsh.
No. Putting someone down? No, throwing down, Mr. Powell.
Throw down.
Put him down.
Oh, okay.
More like put him in his place.
Yeah. I'm holding or a small toy of dog. So. I was thinking along the lines of pet down.
Aww.
Wow.
That's so sorry. Sad.
I
just got sad.
Yeah. I just got slapped in the face with emotion. It feels.
I could slap you in the face.
That's
slap
my job.
Myself pretty good.
I know you enjoy slapping faces, apparently. So.
Do you encounter other female gamers in your quest to be the most awesome female gamer on the planet?
None of my female friends are actually that big of gamers.
Mm-hmm.
So I have yet to really encounter someone.
Okay.
Female-wise.
Now, what kind of games do you like to play? Because there's a lot of debate online about female gamers, what they like to play.
Really?
Yeah.
So board game-wise or video game-wise?
Let's start with video games.
Video games, I enjoy Halo, any of them.
Nice.
Minecraft. There's this game on the new Xbox One, and I think on the 360s too. It's called Worms. And basically,
Worms.
I really enjoy that game.
I believe that's also on PC.
Yeah, how does that game?
That was a big time waster for me in college.
Really?
Oh, it is.
How does that game go down?
A long time.
Basically, you have this team of worms, and you try to kill the other person's worms.
Nice.
By using different things like cows and flying sheep.
Okay.
And you can name your team and name your worms.
Oh, stuff. That's awesome.
And they've all got funny voices.
Yeah, and the maps have like several layers, and it's like like side-scrolling sort of.
It's kind of like the way the aiming dynamic is a lot like Angry Birds. So you can bounce off things to make them hit your target, and sometimes you have to hit off several things. And so, yeah, the naming part of it, I remember my team was named after the band members in Counting Crows.
Nice.
My team's named after Arrow.
Funny story. So is mine.
Oh, change it. No.
You guys are so
okay.
Steven was going for a high five.
I know.
And Miss Wise totally.
I just had to shoot him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Well, funny thing though about Worms is that it's like cartoony and like seems super like childish. But then when you just flat blow somebody up, it's like intense.
Right.
So,
it's legit.
Yeah, it combines
okay.
different elements.
Yeah. And then I also love any of the Lego video games like Lego Batman 3 right now is so awesome.
Did you play Legos growing up, or you just...
Yes.
Okay, well, yeah.
In a tub of them.
Again.
Yeah.
Breaking stereotypes.
Boom.
Yeah.
How did you feel when Lego came out with the feminine Legos?
Ooh, good question. Yeah.
That pretty much sums it up.
I think. Yeah.
What else to say to that?
You think it was unnecessary?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the Lego characters already had the cool female hair, and I don't know that you need much more than that.
Legos are Legos.
Yeah.
They're so much fun.
I don't know. I know my niece, who's 5, appreciates the little ones with the little girls and all the pink stables and horses. And so I think it was more for the younger generation than anybody else.
Right. Yeah. My oldest daughter, she's 4.5, and we got her dolls and things, and she just never wanted to play with them. So she's got all sorts of Thomas the Train, and she has my old Legos from when, I was 10 or whatever. And
she's going to follow you in your engineer/architecture/artist footsteps?
It's kind of looking that way. Yeah, she's pretty mechanically minded. But yeah, she has no interest kind of in the girly stuff. She likes... Tinkerbell. She likes those movies, but we have a Tinkerbell doll for her, but she doesn't want to play with it. So she'd rather play with trains, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
My nephew got some LED light-up Legos for Christmas, and I think me and my sister have been playing with them more than he has.
Nice.
And my stepdad was all into it, and he was like, did the helicopter get back to your house safely? And we're like, yeah, it's golden!
Have you built a struggle bus?
No, I've not. I've yet to build the struggle bus.
Build one of those.
So, what kind of board games are you into these days?
Well, I love all board games. Board games and card games, like, yes.
Yeah.
But all of my friends recently would rather play video games than board games. So, I was really happy when you guys approached me. We're like, hey, board games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the case. Yeah, for most people.
Yeah.
I tell people, we started a board game club, and often it's like, is that even a thing?
Yeah,
what's a board game club?
Especially now, because you can get the board games like on your Xbox and stuff, so you can play them via your Xbox.
Yeah, you can get introduced to some of the modern classics like Catan and Ticket to Ride. Yeah, right there. So
it's strange, because it's not the same as having like the board game out.
Right. Yeah, board games are only as much fun as the people you're playing with, and if you're still staring at a screen, it's a video game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I enjoy getting around and bouncing, things off of people. Like when we play Risk, we have the really fun stories about, what's happening on the board. Miss Wise actually captured some of my pieces after after destroying them, and we can have fun like that, which is hard to do in a video game. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for insert game here. We're going to try something a little bit different. I'm going to have the guests each throw out a word, and we're going to try and design a board game based on those three words. So, Mr. Wall, what's your word?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Miss Wise.
I did Batman.
Batman.
Cloud.
All right.
Man. Making it hard.
Mr. Powell throwing out Cloud. So we have dinosaurs, Batman, and Cloud.
I've already got it.
Okay, Steven, let's hear it.
Yeah, I don't know how the board would work, per se, with the cloud and stuff, but the theme behind it, it's raining dinosaurs out of a cloud. They reach the ground. Batman must defeat them.
Wow.
Boom.
One player is Batman. The other players are the dinosaurs.
I'm not buying it.
So, Mr. Wall is not going to buy your game.
Okay. I didn't make it for Mr. Wall. I made it for myself.
I am your consumer.
I'd probably steer clear as well.
Short, hairy men.
Bearded and hairy are different.
Okay. Here's my take on this game. All right. It's pick up and deliver is the mechanic. So you are picking stuff up from one location and delivering it to another. There is a man who has large, large caves that he houses prehistoric bats in. And he's basically, if you've ever seen Harry Potter, how the owls deliver the mail, it's these giant bats delivering mail or whatever packages elephants to different parts of the board. I don't know. Whatever a prehistoric bat would be able to carry.
You know, elephant delivery.
Yeah. What do you think?
Get those so often.
What would the point of the game be? Just to deliver all the stuff that maybe you have cards that have certain things you need to deliver to certain parts of the
right.
world?
Yeah, or...
It could be like cards where it's like a giant wind gust comes.
You're covered in 10,000 pounds of guano. Skip a turn.
Skip a turn.
Yeah.
One turn.
Yeah. You die.
I feel like we might just not have an insert game.
We might not. We might not.
What about a game that is dealing with musicians where you have to, you know, build your band, you know, get your drummer, your bassist, whatever, you know, you have to get a set list together or something, get your instruments, you know, eventually get a venue, you know, several venues, and the goal of the game is to get the most fame and be the biggest rock band in the world.
I think that's pretty cool. And it could play like... there are a lot of really cool cooperative games now, and I think, Mr. Wall, you were there when we were playing Space Cadet Dice Duels. I don't know if you remember us playing that game with the little spaceships.
Oh, yeah. Out on the board. I watched you play it.
Yeah, and each person has a different role on that spaceship, so you're the helm or you're the captain or you're shields or whatever. And this could be the same thing, or one of you's the manager, one of you's the front man, one of you's the drummer, and you all have like different mini games. Mm-hmm. And you're competing maybe against another band.
Or it could also work, though, to where every individual player drew cards and had his own band.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like...
I was thinking of some
very different,
lines.
But the card aspect kind of like Dead of Winter, where mm-hmm. you have like a few different like characters.
Right.
And then it's between the players to have the best band.
Okay, this sounds like a pretty cool game, so we might not want to put this on air.
Yeah, nobody's
agreed.
Nobody listens to this podcast, so...
We could do the different dynamics where it could be versatile, where you could do, again, you know, everyone trying to do their own band, or the collaborative version where everyone's a person in the band or the mm-hmm. manager, so to speak. And then we also do where if you have, you know, maybe six people, three people in one band and three people in the other. And right. so it could be a very versatile game where you could do several different things based on how many people you have.
Right. Just pushing it. Mr. Wall just dropped the mic. Which I'm fine with. I think it's broken.
Just
they can't
down.
Do any more bad jokes now. So, what would we call this game? We need a name for this super cool game where we're building bands out of nothing, out of obscurity, from the garages of so many homes in suburbia.
Indie fame?
Maybe.
I'm thinking of starting in a garage and trying to, you know, become super famous.
Right.
Not that that's every indie band's dream, but they want some sort of notoriety.
I feel like the name of the game, when you hear it, you should know what it's about. Sorry. Like Cash and Guns, you know what Cash and Guns is about. Yeah.
Well, Risk, if you ever heard the name of the game, it could be a lot of different things unless you were familiar with it.
Sure. Some things get grandfathered in, though. Yeah. Yep.
Musicians
Anonymous. That sounds like a support group.
Hey,
that could be a game in and of itself.
I used to be in this rock band.
Right.
We failed.
I like the support group game.
Way better.
Kind of like Heroes Wanted, Bandmates Wanted.
Right, yeah.
It kind of could function like the same, similar to that game.
It could, yeah.
Except for with less punching citizens.
I don't know. Rock and roll is pretty hardcore.
Mosh pits, man.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
Oh, yeah, you can get bonus points for different things happening at your event.
Oh, no.
Or negative things.
Right. This may be a discretionary game for some.
Tomatoes at you.
Some expansions could include groupies.
Right.
You
know. No.
I don't know. We could just call it Frontman. Everybody knows what the front man is. Everybody wants to be the front man, right?
We need to move on.
We do.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our game of the podcast. But before we do, Alex eating.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the main event. Tonight, live from Tokyo, a handful of the planet's most frightening monsters will battle in a no-holds-barred match to determine once and for all who will reign supreme over all mutant kind. People are fleeing the city now as the contenders move into position. It's clear the challengers have spared no expense in preparation for a clash, and I fear this fair city may be reduced to rubble before the night is up. As many predicted, the king has started his ascent of Tokyo Tower, clearly trying to establish the high ground before combat gets underway. And in a surprising turn of events, the Kraken, a crowd favorite and undisputed veteran of Aquatic Chaos, has yet to arrive, leaving many to question his appearance here. Wait, what's this? A colossal wave has just washed over Tokyo Bay. A giant green mass is cresting just off the coast. Can it be? Ladies and gentlemen, it is! The Kraken is making his way towards the city, smashing every ship and sailboat in his terrifying nautical wake. Not since 1954, when a giant lizard ravaged this metropolis, have I seen such an entrance, and not a moment too soon. Cyber Buddy is on the move and will be giving no quarter to the new arrival as warning sirens signal the start of the match.
So the game we're going to be talking about, King of Tokyo. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, King of Tokyo is really cool, and it's very popular, and you can actually get it at Target and Walmart. It's become...
You can actually buy it
you can.
At Target.
Totally. Walmart. I know. A lot of these games that we play...
This game is, in fact, purchasable.
It is. Thank you, Mr. Powell.
You can actually buy it. Anyways, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's like two conversations.
I know. I'm,
we're over here talking. They're over there talking.
Right. Yeah.
Can you split this up into two podcasts?
Yeah. But yeah, you can get this at Target and Walmart if you're interested. And the theme is something that I really appreciate. And it's basically you each play a B kind of monster movie.
Kaiju.
Monster. Yep, kaiju. And you can be a Godzilla-like creature, a mech creature.
Mecha Dragon.
Right, aliens.
Kraken.
And you each take one of these monsters. And obviously the premise of the game... Miss Wise, if you please.
That was a good, stern voice.
That was really good.
I think she blushed a little.
Blush easily, okay?
No, you each take a monster, and obviously the point of the game is to be the King of Tokyo at the end of the game. It plays a lot mechanically like Yahtzee. So if you're familiar with how Yahtzee works... See, this is the thing that surprised me. Miss Wise is shaking her head. And that is what I've encountered with people in high school and younger haven't played Yahtzee. So, parents,
people in high school and younger.
Get your kids some Yahtzee so they can play
my
Yahtzee.
My niece and nephew do know what Yahtzee
is. Okay, great.
And they're familiar.
Oh, you have played it.
But it's been a while.
No.
Okay.
No, you said high school and younger, and she's in college.
I'm in college.
I know. I'm telling the people. You're too late. It's too late for you.
Oh, that's harsh.
Apparently college and younger.
Right. No, you've played King of Tokyo, which is actually better than Yahtzee, so you're ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah. Boom. See,
yeah.
I just saved myself the trouble of
totally.
Yahtzee.
Totally. You don't even need to play it.
Better than Yahtzee is its tagline. Just King of Tokyo, better than
better
Yahtzee.
Better than Yahtzee, yeah. Well, anyway, the way Yahtzee works is you've got a handful of dice and you roll them, and what shows up will allow you to do a specific action. And you can choose to pick some up and roll them again, and you get to do that twice. So essentially, you get to roll three times in total. And on the dice, you'll be able to attack monsters, and you'll be able to heal yourself up if you've been attacked, and you'll be able to roll victory points, and you'll be able to gain energy cubes, which are currency. Because monsters don't have pockets and can carry cash. They deal in energy. So the energy is going to allow you to upgrade your monster with super cool abilities. And you win the game by either being last monster standing or acquire 20 victory points. So, I don't know, Mr. Wall, you've played this probably more than anybody here. What's your opinion of King of Tokyo?
It's a really fun, accessible game. I think that's the best part about it is that, as Adam stated earlier, you know, anywhere from 6-year-olds to... You know, elderly people mm-hmm. would find it enjoyable because the elderly people would be familiar with Yahtzee and how that mechanic works. And the younger people, like my nephew who is 7, really enjoys the game and he he imagines himself being different types of monsters all the time, destroying things. So right. he actually gets to live that dream out via tabletop gaming.
That's right.
And so the mechanics of the game is really great. The cards you can purchase to upgrade your monster really add a cool dynamic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, overall, it's a really enjoyable game. I highly recommend it.
Right.
And who doesn't want to be a giant monster?
Some of us don't have a choice, David.
Oh, man.
That's not even you. You're just you're a tiny little leprechaun man.
A leprechaun man?
I don't know. Like he's got red hair.
And red beard. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that was... Who was he referring to?
I don't know.
I was just saying that in general.
Any word.
Miss Wise, you have a pretty funny story about King of Tokyo.
Yes, I do.
He will make you tell it.
I feel like this is just... Every time I introduce this game now, uh-huh. I just tell this story.
Oh, yeah.
After the first time I played it, when I went to sleep, I had a dream about it. And we were the actual monsters playing the board game, The King of Tokyo.
Right.
And so...
So we weren't actually rampaging through Tokyo. We were sitting around a table as monsters playing this...
Trying to figure out who was going to be the King of Tokyo right. via this board game.
I'd be totally up for that.
Yeah.
So next time, we just got to dress up as the monsters, guys.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things about the game is that you can really push your luck with it. You can see what everybody has very openly on the table. You can see who has a bunch of energy, who has a bunch of life. And you can modify your die rolls according to that. Maybe you've gotten smacked around quite a bit, and you need to roll some hearts to regain some health.
Or like the last game where another student was rolling, he knew that myself and another person only had 4 lives left, so if he was able to roll 4 hits, then he would win the game.
Right.
That didn't happen, but you know, just like pushing your luck, if I can just do this, even if other things come up that you might still want, you're like, if I can just roll 3 more hits, I can win the game.
Right.
So that is
right.
Cool. I know that when I was playing with Adam and Seth, I just forgot about the victory points, and that's how you won. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, forgot like, that was a thing.
You weren't adding them on?
No, like, I forgot that that's how you could win as well. So I was just focused on killing you.
Right.
I found that nice. If you play this as a 2-player game, monsters tend to, you end up killing each other a lot more often than right. getting to 20 victory points. So I think my favorite way to play this game is... 5 to 6 people, because you get to use Bay of Tokyo, Tokyo Bay.
Right.
But if you want a couple quick games, a 2-player game, like you can play a best out of 3 in probably a half an hour.
Right.
Which reminds me, I have to apologize to Steven for crushing his face on his first game.
Wah, wah.
I mean, I didn't want to.
This is my podcast. Get off it. Go back on the street.
Aw, that's so rude.
I apologize, Mr. Powell.
And I think the artwork is certainly really, really cool. The illustrations are really fun. And I think what makes this game for me is the special ability upgrades. You can grow things like second heads, which will give you another die when you're rolling. And in our last game, one of the other students, Josh, who's not actually here today.
No.
Nova Breath.
He had Nova Breath, which would just...
Stole my Nova Breath.
That's right. You already had fire breathing. You didn't need Nova Breath.
I wanted to breathe both fire and Nova.
What is Nova?
Nova Breath is where when you attack every monster at the table.
That is
yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wanted
it's called
it.
Talent.
Or bad breath.
Or bad breath.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
As a monster, garlic. That's pretty talented. Phone call. It's one of our fans again.
Professional.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Seth. He's calling in. You guys are podcasting without me.
Yeah, he's rather mad.
Yeah.
So guys, if you haven't picked up on it.
Yeah.
Seth shout out not to
here,
Seth.
Right.
But yeah.
No, he's
yeah.
here. He's just off there. In the
he's
corner.
In Bozeman.
Yeah, actually, he's had a mic this whole... Yeah.
He's mute.
We haven't talked about X-Wing, so there's nothing for him to chime in on.
Ooh.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Ouch.
No, Seth is in Bozeman. He is at school studying hard or playing Smite, one of the two. So I should also mention that King of Tokyo... designed by board game alum Richard Garfield, who invented Magic the Gathering, pretty much the most popular card game on the planet. And he has a way of just knocking these games out of the park for whatever reason. He just did another one recently called Ghost.
Yes. Is that okay?
That's how it's spelled. It's spelled with like five O's and then an exclamation point.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was just great. You have my props.
So I'm going to try and get my hands on that one too. I think it's more of a kid's game, but it's Richard Garfield. And it won a Mensa Award, which is kind of the Geniuses Association Award or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a genius.
So. I get the email updates.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the loop.
Great.
It's not funny. Nerd. Wise.
I didn't even laugh. It's keeping quiet so no one can make fun of me anymore.
Uh-huh.
And yet it still happens.
It's all right. It happened to me last time I was on, dude. So just get used
it's
to
like
it.
It's like a part of the initiation.
Miss Wise, final thoughts? You have any words of wisdom for those listening?
Okay, just because my last name is Wise.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me here again. It's a privilege and an honor.
Mr. Powell?
This is probably the last time I'm going to be on here just because it's been so bad.
Yeah.
Steven agrees.
It's not that I don't want to.
Yeah, I do agree. No. Instead of rating games, we should just rate guests. Oh, like a two right now.
You got some room to make up.
No comment.
You guys will have a chance to improve your ranking.
Right. I'm just, you know, at least I was welcomed back.
Right. Yeah.
This is probably going to be the most highly edited podcast.
Good luck, Adam.
Yeah. Well,
I apologize.
Well, honestly. Thank you all for coming onto the Board Game Point of View podcast episode number 4.
Number
4, Steve.
We'll see you all in episode 5.
Or 6.
I've listened to the podcast.
Stamp of approval.
There you go. That was more like a whip.
Whip of approval. The stamp. The stamp was tied to the end of my whip. Anyway.
That's right.
You must be very good with a whip then.
Yeah. Don't ask why.